what I will have to do is to explain this portion of scripture as I take it, because if you look at the interpretations of men, you'll find that there are 50 different interpretations. And so what I've done is to examine all of these and what they said, all the words here in the Greek and in the Hebrew, to find out just what it means. And so what I will do is to try to simplify it for you. And if any of you men want more details later, then you come and ask me. But now, I'm telling you how I take it. Some things I can tell you without fear of contradiction. Others, since even the scriptures themselves will allow it to be interpreted two or more ways, I will just suggest the interpretation that I took. All right, 1 Peter 3:18. Because Christ also once suffered for sins, and that's once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death fleshwise, but made alive spiritwise, in which also he went and made proclamation unto the spirits in prison, that aforetime were disobedient when the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water, which also after a true likeness, that is, a type, doth now save you, even baptism, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the asking of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is on the right hand of God, having gone into heaven, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. I'll tell you, first of all, some of the things that we know for sure. In speaking of Christ, there were sufferings throughout his life. He's spoken of as the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. But there were only 6 hours of suffering for the redemption of mankind, from 9 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. And our Savior said, "It is finished." Here, it speaks about Christ suffering, the just or the righteous one, for us the unjust, for the purpose of bringing us to God. Then evidently, if Christ had to suffer to bring us to God, there is nothing that we can do to bring ourselves to God. It is Christ, our substitute on the cross, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, that provides redemption. Nothing else. So this is what we have, and that is without contradiction. But I told you, and this is so simple if you look at it, because it has a construction in the Greek which says this, that our Savior was put to death fleshwise, made alive spiritwise. Do you remember what it says? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's the incarnation, God manifest in the flesh. But then our Savior died, was buried, the third day was raised from the dead. And when he was raised from the dead, it said, made alive spirit-wise. When it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, does it mean he was just a mess of flesh, a mass of flesh, and that's all he was? You say no. That means that he was body, soul, and spirit, and he was God manifest in the flesh. And so the word flesh means Christ in his incarnate state. And when it says he was raised spirit-wise, it means Christ in his resurrected, glorified body. So we have 2 conditions, Christ in his incarnation and Christ in his resurrection and his glorification. And seeing that, then is where a difficulty begins because it is unique. It says, in this resurrected, glorified body, he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Most of the time, the theologians and the creeds say that when he died, he went and preached. But the scripture says that after he was raised from the dead, he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. A great difference. Now, the next question is this. What does it mean he preached to the spirits in prison? I take it to be the disembodied spirits of human beings that died and went to the place where spirits go when they die. Some go to a place that is described as prison, and others go to a place that is described as paradise, Abraham's bosom, the Father's house. That's where men go, and they die if they know Christ. The Savior said to the thief on the cross, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So, when this thief died, his spirit went with Christ to paradise. And listen, when the Savior said, Father, into thy hands I command my spirit, then here is the spirit of Christ, just as all human beings, when they die, there is a separation of the spirit from the body, and the spirit returns to God who gave it, and God consigns that to either the place that is pictured so beautifully as Abraham's bosom, the place of love and comfort and safety, or paradise, it makes no difference, the Father's house, that's where those that have trusted Christ go. And then the other spirits go to where the man that is given his history in Luke 16 went. It said the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. So, when the righteous die, their spirits go to be to a place of joy and contentment and safety, and the spirits of the wicked go to a holding place. Because when you die, you do not immediately go to hell. You go to a place that is called Hades, the unseen world, and you are there until, at the last day, you are at the great white throne. And then you will be ushered into heaven, or it will be, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, understand that those who have died are now in prison if they are rejectors of the will of God and the righteous demands of God, just as those who are believers in God are in the place of joy and contentment. Now, the next question is this. I have to tell you a lot of things and then put them together later on. Some say, well, he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. They're also evil spirits, satanic spirits. How do you know it's not Christ going and preaching to the spirits in prison? For more reasons than one, and I will tell you why. Because you never find in Scripture that God waits for evil spirits to repent or begin to do good. It says, and you put this together, Genesis 6, and what 2 Peter tells us about the days of Noah, it says, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And it tells us in Genesis 6 that God looked upon man, and it says, the earth was filled with violence. Every imagination of the thought of man's heart was only evil continually. And God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, yet his days shall be 120 years. And so here is Noah building the ark, and while he's building the ark, for 120 years, men have opportunity to repent, to turn from wickedness to righteousness. And not one outside of Noah's family ever repented. Now, the reason that it speaks about in the long-suffering of God, God is not long-suffering waiting for our evil spirits to repent. How many believe that Satan or any of his followers shall ever repent and be in heaven? No. And so why is God waiting for them to repent? He's not long-suffering and waiting for them. It says in Romans 2:4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The patience and long-suffering of God is not with satanic beings, evil spirits, but it's with fallen men. And I will tell you this now. You have the beautiful translation, King James, and in Hebrews 2 it says, he taketh not on him the nature of angels. But what it literally says is this. He doesn't lay hold on angels to assist them, to help them in any way. But it says, he giveth help to the seed of Abraham. And unlike man, when angels sin, there is no opportunity of redemption. And it says, Christ, he came into the world to seek and to save sinners. He did not come to redeem fallen angels. And so this is why, when it says the spirits in prison, he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, I take it to be the spirits of human beings that have died. And I'll give you this illustration. You'll find that when Jairus' daughter died, our Savior beautifully describes it as she's sleeping, just as he described Lazarus in John 11 as our friend Lazarus is sleeping. And they said, well, if he's sleeping, all will be well. Christ said, he's dead. And so Christ describes that. We would not have you, ignorant brethren, concerning them that sleep. That's the ones that are dead. So here are these that die, and it says that this dead child, Jairus' daughter, that when Christ came and reached down and touched her, he said, little maiden, arise. And it says, her spirit came again into her. And so when men die, their spirits leave them. And they go back to God who gave them, and God consigns them to the place that the judge of all the earth, who knows to do right, knows that they should go. And so that little one's child, that little child's spirit came again to her. At times, when man dies, it speaks about his soul or his spirit leaves, because it says in Acts 2 from Psalm 16, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. And so man's immaterial part, his spiritual part, his soul and body leave the physical part of man when he dies. And so I take it that Christ went to preach unto these spirits in prison. Now, this is the next hurdle. You say, well, he's going to preach to these spirits that were disobedient, that had 120 years to repent and become righteous the way that Noah was, and now he's going to preach the gospel to them in prison. It says that not at all, for this reason. There are two words that are quite distinct. There is the word euangelizo, which is to preach the gospel. And there is the word keruso, which simply means to make a proclamation. And this is the word he went and made a proclamation to the spirits that are in prison. Now you help me. Somebody tell me what that proclamation was. You can't tell me, because God doesn't tell us, and so you can't expect me to tell you. Just like this. It says in John chapter 8 that Jesus stooped down and wrote with his finger on the ground. Tell me what he wrote. You say, I don't know. And so it tells us that Jesus did things at times, and you don't even know what it was. But did he stoop down and write on the ground? You say, yes. Now, another. It says in Genesis chapter 4, that Cain said unto Abel his brother, tell me what he said. He said something, but God doesn't tell us. But inasmuch as he was in the field with Abel, He might have said something like, come and look at my beautiful crop that I've raised this year. And when he got him in the field, it said he rose up against his brother Abel and slew him. And I just tell you this as a fringe benefit. It says in Jeremiah that those that sin, God will write their sins in the earth. And so maybe the Lord Jesus wrote down all the sins of those hypocrites that were accusing that woman, and they were guilty of the same sin. But inasmuch as it does not tell us, you have to look at all the other scriptures and seek to ascertain just what it was that Cain said to Abel, that our Savior wrote on the ground, and what he preached, the proclamation he made to the spirits in prison. Now, I know this. I know that once a man dies, the gospel is never proffered to him again. I see people trying to be saved after the end comes, even when Christ comes, or after they have died. It says the door was shut, and they're knocking on that door. Lord, let us come in. The Lord says no. And so if a spirit is in prison, there is no going and preaching the gospel to them. After God has given 120 years for them to be saved, he doesn't say, well, I didn't give you long enough, I'll give you enough. That's not it at all. And it purposely avoids the word preaching the gospel. I take it that he went and made proclamation to those spirits in prison concerning his victory over death, and also the redemption that could have been theirs, the joy that could have been theirs, had they become righteous at the preaching of Noah, who was a preacher of righteousness. Because there's no preaching of the gospel. And I will illustrate it now. I'm going to give you an example of someone who was being preached to in prison. So turn to Luke 16. I want you to hear it. Here is a proclamation made to a spirit that is in prison. And then I will tell you three kinds of preaching. So in Luke 16, look at verse 22. It came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. This is not prison. This is a place of contentment, joy, safety, love. It says, and the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. That is prison. I'll show you why for sure in a moment. And he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. And listen to proclamation to a spirit in prison. But Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now here he is comforted, and thou art in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they that would pass from hence to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from thence to us. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one go to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if one rise from the dead. This is why it's prison. If you're in a hole and you cannot get out and no one can come to you, that is prison. Now, notice the proclamation. Not a word of hope, but an explanation of the wasted life, the wasted opportunity he had to repent. How do I know? because the rich man in hell says, send Lazarus, lest they come to this place of torment. And if you send Lazarus, they will repent. You see, he knew what it was. In his whole lifetime, he had never repented. And he said, send them that they may repent. And Abraham said, no. The only difference between what I read you here and we have Christ preaching to the spirits in prison is that it is not Abraham speaking to one spirit in prison, but the Lord Jesus speaking to those particular spirits in prison that were disobedient in the days of Noah when the ark was preparing. And God's Son makes proclamation in his risen, glorified state that this redemption that could have been theirs cannot be theirs. Notice what Abraham says to him. In your lifetime, you received your good things, not a ray of hope, and Lazarus evil things. Now he is comforted and you're in torments. Well, give me a drop of water. Let us go back and forth. Abraham says, absolutely not. Now, here is a proclamation to a spirit in prison. And so I take it that some such proclamation was made to those spirits that were disobedient in the time of Noah, when the ark was a preparing, a terrible thing. Now, let me tell you about three kinds of preaching that is done in the scriptures. At first, since you're in Luke, just turn to chapter 4. Turn to chapter 4. I want you to hear a beautiful preaching. This is a preaching of the gospel. It's not a declaration. If they have a declaration of the gospel, that's good. But listen to this. In Luke chapter 4, it's quoting from Isaiah 61, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Show me one point of rebuke or lost opportunity in the first kind of preaching that Christ did. You say, it's all hope there. It's promise. It's filled with joy and hope. Yes. But now, listen. The next time Christ preaches, he says this. He says in John chapter 5, he said, how can you believe who receive the glory of men, but the glory that cometh from the only God you seek not? And then in Matthew chapter 23, he says, you serpents, you offspring of vipers, how shall you escape the judgment of hell? And then he says in Matthew 23 at the last, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And all hope is gone. That is the third kind of preaching. And then, what was final then, in case someone like Lazarus in hell thinks that he can get out, or he can send messages there, or can receive comfort in prison, Abraham tells him all that lies before him. And so this is the exhortation and application to us, that we have a lifetime. Some in Noah's day, if they live that long, they have 120 years. And some, did I not hear tonight that a teenager was killed in an accident? Well, that teenager had those years in which to repent. And some, as this man that lives in my block, he said, I'm 78 years old. And he said, I did not hear the gospel until I was 72 years old. And when I heard it, I received Christ, the Savior. How patient God is, how long-suffering. And so God gives us different specified periods of time in which to repent. And if we do, thank God, we go to paradise, or we go to Abraham's bosom, or we go to be with the Lord in the fullness of revelation, as it is now. Or we go to that place, torment. And so you must make sure that you receive the gospel of the grace of God. Because if you do not receive it in life, you will not receive it in death. Much more I could tell you, but I want to tell you a little bit about the rest. It speaks about he went and spoke unto the he made proclamation to the spirits that are in prison that were disobedient in the days of Noah. And then it says, wherein two, that is eight souls, and notice again, souls is simply a metonymy for the whole, a part representing the whole. Like you say, here come 50 head of cattle. The head stands for the whole. And so here are eight souls that were saved through water. Now, this is the next difficult part. It says, which, speaking of baptism, after a like picture, save you. And so now, I have to explain to you tonight about baptismal regeneration. Do not deny that the Bible says that baptism saves you. It says, which baptism saves you. What happens is that people look at it and say, it doesn't mean that, and so I'm going to change it. It means exactly what it says, and I'm telling you that baptism does two things. I've told you before, and now I will add this second thing to it. Baptism both washes away sins, and baptism both saves a guilty sinner. You say, how can that be? Well, what you have to do is to ask an additional question. How does baptism wash away sins? And how does baptism save? And then all becomes clear. I've shown you from Mark's gospel, when the leper comes to the Savior, and I'm abbreviating it tonight, the leper comes and he says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And it says, the Lord Jesus touched him and said, I will, be thou made clean. And it says, immediately his leprosy departed, and he was clean. There's nothing on earth that could have made him any cleaner than he was at that moment, actually. But he was not clean. Because the Lord Jesus said, now that you're clean, go and offer for your cleansing the things prescribed by the law of Moses. Give them to the priest and get cleansed. He said, but he's already cleansed. He is cleansed actually by the touch of Christ, but he is not cleansed ceremonially. There was a ceremonial cleansing, and the precious hand of Jesus that touched him cannot wash him ceremonially. God, for reasons known to him, says when a man is cleansed, he's to go and be cleansed. When he's actually cleansed, the leper is to be ceremonially cleansed. And in like manner, when a sinner trusts Christ as Savior by faith, he is as saved as he will ever be. Nothing can save him anymore. Nothing can make him cleaner anymore, except the ceremony of baptism. And so, how does baptism wash? It washes ceremonially. You say, but the leper, yes, was he clean? Yes. But did Christ say, now go and get clean? Yes. And so, what cleansed him? You could say, well, ceremonially, he was cleansed by the gifts given to Moses. That's right. And how is a sinner cleansed? You say, by grace through faith. Yes, actually. But how is he ceremonially cleansed? You say, why? By submitting to Christian baptism, of course. And so it saves. Understand that faith cannot wash you ceremonially. Actually, yes. But here is where an important interpretation comes when it speaks about baptism which saves you. Notice, not the cleansing, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but, and it literally says this, which I take it to mean, but, the question and asking for a good conscience toward God. And so if the Lord Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, and you know that you are to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Savior said, and be baptized, and you do not submit to Christian baptism, how can you ever have a good conscience? You cannot. When the Savior who died for you on the cross says, believe in me, and then submit to Christian baptism. If you do not submit to Christian baptism, you can never have a good conscience toward God. And this is what Peter tells us baptism does. He says that it is not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but it is getting a good conscience towards God. Let me give you this scripture. You'll find in Luke chapter 7 that when Christ preached, it says the publicans and the harlots justified God being baptized of John. Notice, if God said, be baptized, and they submitted to baptism, then God is right, and I have a good conscience. Why? Because I've done everything that God told me to do. But it says, the scribes and the Pharisees rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized. They can never have a good conscience. Which shows us that all of those who have genuinely trusted Christ as Savior, you cannot have a good conscience if you know the Lord Jesus said, repent and be baptized, believe and be baptized. Understand that when you truly believe from your heart, you are saved. But you are not saved ceremonially, and you are not saved, washed ceremonially. There is a ritual, there is an order that Christ says man is to go through, and it must be followed, or there will never be a good conscience. One other thing, I just have to laugh at this. You have two things. You have the waters of Noah, and it tells you what those waters signify. You'll find it in Isaiah 54. It says, as the waters of Noah are unto me, they are the waters of death. And so Peter says, here are waters of death, and those waters are, and the word is antikupos, a correspondence, a likeness, a figure of baptism. And here is something else that's so funny. Usually you have a type that illustrates a reality and it ends. But here you have a type in the waters of Noah, illustrating a type in the waters of baptism, which reality is trusting Christ as your Savior. I cannot go into more details now, but all of these things are included in what Peter says are necessary to have a good conscience toward God. So these are some of the things about baptism and about preaching to the spirits in prison. And time is gone. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have put in your word truths that when we think through and compare them with the other parts of the word of God, they become clear. But if not, Father, we will do all in our power to make them mean something that they do not mean. So let us accept the word of God and to confess that baptism washes away sins and baptism saves, but only as a picture, only in ceremony. Only the precious blood of Christ and his death and faith in him can actually do what is necessary to make us your children. So let us know this distinction, but let us not say that baptism does not do what your word does tell us it does in the way that you mean it to mean. So help us to understand these things tonight, and let us all have a good conscience toward God and toward man. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.